Well, hope you all had a good day. Mine was a day. I was at work, and so it was just a day. The men in my class will have to bear with me tonight. They've heard this. I don't know if they'll remember it. I don't know how many of them were sleeping that day, but maybe some of them will get something out of it. If you got your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Job. I was telling Brother Rick Lanier Sunday morning, I said, and he was, preached that, life is war. And I said, the poor men in my class now for over 2 years, they've been having to suffer with me teaching the same thing, war. That's what we've been teaching, is warfare for the last over 2 years now, going into the third year. But you look at Job in chapter 10 and verses 17. Wrong chapter. His friends has already been beating him up a good bit, and the good Lord, he's been beating him up a good bit, and giving Satan permission to beat him up a good bit, and he admitted that everything that Satan did to him, it was by God's permission. He said, "This is what I've done." He chose to allow that to happen. And we're going to have things coming in our lives. God's going to allow all kinds of bad stuff to happen in our lives. And you say, why in the world would he do that? Because we need it. Sometimes we just need to get humbled a little bit, get knocked down a little bit, realize that, there's people all around us that are suffering, and when we have to suffer a little bit, it kind of gives us a perspective of trying to be willing to help one another. And another thing is, like Paul spoke at one time, because of all the things and good things that God did in his life and all the blessings he enjoyed and all the revelations and all the things that Paul had in his life and his understanding, and he gave him, his gospel and opened up those mysteries unto him. And boy, he said, because of this, God, stuck a thorn in his, put a thorn in his flesh. And he said he besought the Lord three times to remove it, and God said no. No. So, it's hard to do this, but the Bible says, for all things, give thanks. Not just in all things. It says that, too. It says, in all things, give thanks. But it also says, for all things, give thanks. Because this is the will of God concerning you. And we know, right? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. Now, I'm going to tell you right up front here, that all there is not all. Some things, when God says all, he's talking about all things that are good and godly work for our good. Trouble, works patience. That's godly. I'm going to tell you something, drunkenness and drug addiction and stuff like that's not going to work good in anybody's life. Because people that love God are not going to be caught up into that stuff, Immorality, that ain't what that's talking about. Whenever the Word of God says all, you better look and see what all it's talking about. Because it ain't always all. Okay? Like I heard old Brother Joe LaFay years ago told a guy, he said, well, I'll tell you what, and he said, and he was talking about, drinking soda that, it's really not good for us. And he said, well, all things, by prayer and supplication, it's all right. And he said, well, I tell you what, get you a fifth of liquor and tell God that, okay? I prayed over it, God. No, it don't work, does it? Yeah, some things are you got to make sure about your all. But over here in Job, he's going through some stuff. I'm actually going to begin reading up here in verses 14. He says, "If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me for my iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me. If I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion." You ever been there? Like, what in the world is going on, God? What's going on? Where are you at in all this? I'm confused. I mean, they're sitting there, they hammering him about all the things he's done wrong. And he said right here, he said, "I'm full of confusion." Well, we know where that come from, right? Who's the author of that? Yeah, well, that's why he's confused. The devil's been on him for a good long while now. And God's let that leash and let him get over there at him. And he's just been tearing into him. He said, "I'm full of confusion." "Therefore, see thou mine affliction." He's asked him to look at me. "For it increaseth. Thou huntest me as a fierce lion. And again, thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. Thou renewest thy witnesses against me. And increase thine indignation upon me." Then he makes this statement. "Changes and war are against me." Changes and war are against me. And that's a thought I would like to look at this afternoon and kind of do a little bit of teaching about war and changes, how those things can work against us. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Before we do, though, Brother Rick Hildebrand, would you pray for us? Would you do that, sir? Yes. 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 Amen. I like your song. I know some of you know it. Let me die on the battlefield. I want to die on the battlefield. And let me put it this way. You will. Unless Jesus Christ comes and catches out of here, we're going to die on the battlefield. Right. And you're either going to be a casualty or you're going to be victorious. Right. Serving God. Going on. I don't care where you're at. I was talking to some ladies down at a nursing home. I said, "You can do more right here than I can do out on the streets. You're in the war just like anybody else. God can use you right where you're at." I said, "All you got to do is lift your head towards heaven and ask God for some things and give Him your whole heart and let Him use you. Boy, you can do a great work right where you are." Here in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we begin reading in verses 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, are not carnal, but mighty." Hear that? Mighty. So our weapons are not carnal, they are mighty. Carnal weapons ain't very mighty, you know. But God's weapons are mighty. through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, you can go out here and get all the stuff you want, but I'm going to tell you what, you'll never kill a demon. You never kill a devil with M16 or whatever they're using nowadays. I know everything's changed. But you ain't going to go out there, you know, with automatic weapons and hand grenades and bombs and kill devils. You know, can't do it. They're spirits. And they're going to exist forever. One of these days, God's going to round them all up and kick them off into the lake of fire. But until then, we got to deal with them, and you got to know how to deal with them, and you got to have the right kind of weapons for this warfare that you're in. Now, I know nobody likes to think about the fact that, hey, that going down the road, the devils are going to come around and try to influence you, but they are. They are. Nobody likes to think about that. They can show up around your house. They can show up here at God's house. They do. They've tore up many a church. Get people start listening to them, you know. And you know what? This is so sad. But the Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices, right? Devices of the devil. But I'm afraid too many believers really are ignorant of his devices. They don't know. It's just like I went back and watched that movie again, Preacher Mission at War Room. I went back and watched that again. And just be reminded, you know, hey, we got an enemy called the devil, and we got to have the right weapons to fight. And like she told that one old gal, she said, well, one thing about it, me and my husband, we sure know how to fight. She said, I don't think you do. He said, just because you argue a lot don't mean you know how to fight. You know? And we need to know how to fight. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. That's something you got to practice. I look out and see all these halos around y'all's heads. Y'all don't have bad thoughts. Huh? But you got to learn to cast down them things, you know? When you're going down the road and that guy comes pulling out right in front of you and you're standing on your nose, keep from hitting into him. Bonk, 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 bonk. Sorry, dirty, good for nothing. I should have run into it. No, y'all don't have them thoughts, do you? We got to deal with that stuff. Bible says, give no place to the devil. If you do have that kind of thought, like I do every now and then, man, you got to repent. You got to tell God you was wrong. I had the wrong attitude. God, forgive me, you know. Watch over that fella going down the road. Don't let him pull out in front of anybody else and hurt somebody, okay? You know? We got to deal with these things, these imaginations, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalts us. Itself against the knowledge of God and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, look at that one I just read there. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. What do we allow to take the place of the things we learn about God? Huh? What do we allow to take the place? The worm in there, you know? Boy, we just had a good spiritual time, you know, at church, and we go home and cut the football game on. And my team ain't doing so good. Next thing in the morning, I'm over wanting to kick television in. You see what that stupid thing that guy did? And you done lost everything. You done lost everything you got at church. Yes, sir. You know, it ain't just wicked stuff. You know what I mean? Well, maybe it is wicked. If it gets in between us and God, it's kind of wicked, isn't it? I guess it is. Amen. Huh? Well, we got to be careful. Those things that exalts itself in our lives that comes between us and the knowledge of God and the things that He would teach us. And the way we should walk with Him. So, let me quickly. I'm getting bogged down here already. I was scared I'd do that. And having any readiness to revenge all disobedience. In order to give yourself a good whooping when you've been disobedient to God. When you made that vow and promised to do something, you never did it. Huh? Revenge. All disobedience. Told God, I didn't listen. I didn't do what you told me to do. Get something burning anger in you about you and what you haven't done. Huh? And God, work a change in me. I failed again. I'm sorry. That's just what it says here. A readiness of mind. Readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Once you come back around, you've been doing things you really know you shouldn't be doing. You've been letting other things get into place between you and your service with God, whatever it is. Hey, whether it be fishing or hunting or sports or television or movies or I don't care what it is, but whatever it is, it's come between you and the things that you know you ought to be doing for God. And when you finally get things right and say, oh God, I'm going to be obedient and do what I promise you I do in the beginning. And you just come out against those things and say, get down from here. Get away from me. There's a time and a place for everything. And God is to have every place in our lives. Not first place. Every place. I think that's what we try to do oftentimes. You know what I mean? God, I'll give you this, this, and this, but I'm keeping this for me. Huh? Oh, let me go on. I'm going to get out of the rest of this. I'm really getting bogged down. All right, let's look in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James 4 in verses 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence? See, that's knowing these things, you know. That's knowing Satan's devices. Where do these wars come from? Where do these things, these problems come from that we have in our on our job? Where do these problems come from that we have in our family? What are these problems come from? It's between us adults and our children and our grandchildren and young people have with their parents. Where comes these fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts? Lusts. Your desires. Who is supposed to be in charge here? Whose desires are supposed to be in here? Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. You get your heart towards God and towards Him, then He'll give you the desires of your heart because you'll desire what He desires. But he said, where do you have problems? Where do they come from? Come they not from your lusts, your desires, the things that you want? Yeah, I better do something with this thing. I remember last time I didn't cut this off. He said right here, he said, where do these things come from? Where do these wars come from? Come they not. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have. And cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, Why? Because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lust. You can pray, you can get up every morning, drop down on your knees, do it however you want to, but if you're not asking for what God wants, you ain't getting it. You need to get in here what God wants, and then you can pray for it and get it. Amen? Yeah, that's how you always get every prayer answered. Asking God what He wants, and then you can pray for it. And know you're going to get, you know, I don't think Jesus ever prayed anything. Father said, well, I don't know about that, son. I don't know about that, boy. Let me think about that. No, he knew what his father wanted. Well, how did he know? Because he spent time with him. He walked with him. He talked with him. When he was in the form of a man, he did it the same way that we got to do it.
Amen.
He did it the same way we got to do it. You understand? He wasn't, you know, like some super spiritual being that walked out here. He was a man who walked out here who obeyed God. So we got to do it just like Jesus said, you know. He said, I can do nothing of myself. The only thing I can do is what my Father tells me. Same way. You see, you can't do nothing of yourself either. You can try to pray it up, work it up, do whatever you want to. I mean, work your fingers, ain't nothing but bony fingers, you know what I'm saying? But you're not going to accomplish nothing. Because it takes God doing it through us. Okay, so he said, you have not, you ask not, because you ask amiss that you might consume it upon your own lust. He said, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? You say, I ain't no adulterer. Well, anytime we're not right in our relationship with God, we're involved in adultery. When we give our love and our devotion to things apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, we're involved in adultery. I hope you can see that. Because we got a relationship. Our relationship with the Lord Jesus. He's our husband. We're His bride. We're supposed to be keeping ourselves clean and pure before Him. You know, doing His will. Getting more and more, you know, wanting to please Him, you know. But if we spend our lives trying to please ourselves, we're adulterers and adulteresses. He says right here, submit yourselves therefore to God. And here it is. You're in a warfare. You know why you're going after it? You know where them lusts are coming? You know who's putting them thoughts in our heads? Huh? Hey, well, we got three enemies in this world. Right here's the biggest one I got. I got this world out here. Now I'm not talking about creation. I'm talking about this world system that the devil has created. That's the world that we're to hate. We're not to hate the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees. We're not supposed to hate people. We're supposed to hate this world system. Anything that's going against the way God's going. That's what we're to hate. We're to love everything else and protect it. Take care of it. All right, let me move on. I'm getting bogged down again. Let's go over here. All right, and let's look in. I'm gonna skip the rest of this, but I hope you're seeing kind of where I'm coming from about this war thing. You're in it. We're in it. And I can sit there and go over verse and verse and verse and verse and verse and verse. You know, I ain't gonna help you a bit. You know, what a fella told us one time. I remember he was a substitute teacher, and he came in and he said, well, I guess you expect me to teach you something. He said, well, I'm going to teach you something. He picked us all up and he said, y'all come with me. And he took us to the library. He said, you want to know something? Come in here and look up the subject. and read it. You want to know something? Yeah, that's your library.
Amen.
I can sit there and go over verse and verse and verse and verse and verse, and preachers have done it. It ain't like we haven't heard already. Till it's running, you know, it's just running out of us. And I'm afraid that's what's happened. Maybe, I think we've got a funnel on this here, and we've got a jug on the other end, and it's going in there. Because it ain't sticking with us. It's got to be something, hey, what's going to count, what's going to get the job done? When we make up our mind, I'm going to find out what this Bible says, and I'm going to do it.
Amen.
I'm going to find out what that Bible says, and I'm going to do it. We ain't got but one teacher.
Amen.
We ain't got but one. One. His name, and I love Brother Anthony. I thank him for everything he tries to put in our ears. But there ain't but one teacher. That's the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
And if you want to know something, ask. And get in that book and let him teach us. We want to know how to fight the devil. You want to know about the warfare that's coming against you, how it's coming against you, how to stand. We've got to get in this book. Preacher can't build no wall around your house. Sunday school teacher can't build no wall around your house. I'm talking about this. Can't do it. Can't do it. We can supply the bricks, concrete, and everything else, but you got to do it yourself. So we're going to move on. Let's go back. Let's look over here, and I'm going to look at changes now. We know we're in a war, and we know it's coming against us. And we know it has its damage. We know we've seen the destruction this spiritual warfare has had on many believers. We can actually probably look back in our lives and see where these enemies have come against us and made war against us and caused problems in our own lives, in our families, in our friends and our loved ones. We've seen it. We know it's real. Hey, I'm saying get your heart into it. Say, hey, I'm going to be a good soldier. I'm going to endure hardness. Like Timothy said, endure hardness. Old Paul said, Timothy, it's going to get rough, buddy. It's going to get rough. He said, I told you it's going to get rough. And it did. Boy, it really got rough, man. And that persecution, God unloaded that persecution out there on the church, and it went out everywhere because they was killing everything they could catch. He made us a sheep for the slaughter. And they went everywhere. But they had something burning in here, Brother Rick. Just like old Jeremiah. If I say something, they might have me arrested. But I got to tell. I'm looking at these people. I'm hearing the way they're talking, and they're miserable. And I got the good news. I got to tell them. The war is on. But there ain't no getting out of this one. Going to the end. Proverbs. Take your Bibles. Turn to the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at changes. Proverbs chapter 5. I work with a boy. He's a Jehovah's false witness. I'm going to tell you the truth. They don't know up from down. They don't know no Bible at all. They know that doctrine that they teach them. They know the verses of Scripture that they get taught. But they don't know the Word of God at all. And it's sad. It's sad. Boy, when you stick them with something, they want to take off and running. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses, if you look into their history, I mean, they said Jesus was coming back in 1800 and something. He was supposed to going to return. When they all went up on a hill waiting on him to show up, right? And he didn't show up. But they said he came. He just came spiritually. Nobody saw it, but he did come. So they began to change. They began to change. They began to change their doctrines. They had to do something. They had to explain it away, you know? So they began to find scriptures and rest the scriptures and rest the scriptures and rest the scriptures. Every religion in the world does it, including independent Baptist churches. Brother Rick, he goes into a bunch of them. Am I crazy or is it true? You hear some of the craziest stuff come out of people's mouths sometimes. And you're like, where in the world did that come from? Look over here in Proverbs chapter 5, verses 6. Beginning in verses 6. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, it said, her ways are immovable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, O ye children, depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Now, we're talking about Babylon. You remember that great whore over in the book of Revelation? That's who we're talking about here. She runs from the beginning, from Tower of Babel, until the end of this world's time. You can find her all the way through there. You don't believe it. You look here in the Bible. They burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven. You ever seen them little Madonnas? My wife's got one. Her grandmother gave her. That thing is as pagan as the day is long. You can find it in every major religion. You can find it in Kabbalah. Anybody familiar with Kabbalah? My daughter was asking me about that the other day. You know, I said, yeah, I know exactly what it is. It's Jewish spiritism. And I said, yeah, I know. It's running rampant today. There's a lot of people chasing after that stuff. Yeah, you'll find it in movies and stuff like that. A lot of the teachings of Kabbalah and stuff like that. Her ways are movable. They're always changing. You can't really know what the old devil's, you know, coming at because he's coming at you and he's changing his doctrine all the time. Her ways are movable. Look at chapter 2. Proverbs 2. 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the God of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Without visiting here a while back, I run into LDS. She was just as sweet, pretty young lady, met me at the door. She was just as sweet as she could be. Oh, yes, that's wonderful. Blah, 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 blah. She was just, and I really appreciate what y'all do. She was just flattering us up and down. I said, I know what you are, you know? I knew what she was. I knew who she was. I knew who was speaking through her. You better watch out. She flatters. You men better watch out. You men better watch out. She'll flatter. She'll try to take you down. It ain't her. She's a principality. You understand? Them people are full of devils. I'm not trying to be ugly, but they are. And we ought to care enough about them, we try to help them. But you better watch them. They're coming for you. They're coming at you. They got lies and deceit and flattery and all kinds of stuff they're going to come at you and try to use against you. And it's just like somebody said here just recently, here in the pulpit. Hey, if you want to know what a real dollar bill looks like, And what a counterfeit is, you study the real thing and you'll know what a counterfeit is. But if you're not in this book, and you're not learning the doctrines of this book, hey, you're a target for anything and everything. Proverbs chapter 6. Over and over through Proverbs, you know, he's warning his son about this woman. And Betty, you can go a few generations down the line and they are worshiping her and pouring out incense unto her. Proverbs 6:20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother, bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids, for by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. And her ways are movable. You can't not know them. She's always changing. Take your Bibles now and turn to the book. Excuse me, I got a bunch more of them over there. But we're going to go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Very familiar portion of Scripture. I find so much in there that is... it's rich for this warfare that we're in. You read it. You study this chapter, buddy. You can see it's like taking your newspaper and laying it out. You can see that stuff going on right before your eyes. I'll begin reading in Romans, excuse me. Begin reading in verses 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Don't you ever feel like people are going to go to hell because you ain't witnessed to them. They're going to hell because they choose to. You are to witness and reach out to people with the gospel because you love the Lord, because you care about them, and it's our duty. God's given it to us. But whether you do or not, and they go to hell, you might be accountable for your blood because you didn't do what you were supposed to, but they're not going to hell because of what you didn't do. They're going to hell because of what they didn't do with Jesus. And they're without excuse. Without excuse. I've heard people tell me to their face, and they say, well, I don't believe in God. And I just look at them and I say, yeah. I usually start laughing. I say, yeah, you do. He said, I'm telling you, I don't believe it. I said, yes, you do. You know who God is. It's down in you. And you know it. You've chose not to believe. And God has given you up so you don't want to remember, but you know it, and you know it, and you know what I'm telling you is true. Boy, that gets mad. I said, God said you knew. He can't lie. I said, I know you lie. Who you reckon I'm going to believe? You or God? I said, what a foolish thing for you to say. There is no God. Especially when you already know that there is. The Bible didn't say, they said in their heart. That doesn't mean they don't know he exists. Their heart wants other things. They do not want to believe in him. They want to do what they want to do. And if they If you started thinking about the things and the perverted things that the people in this world do, and what they're not, of course they don't want to think about God. They know judgment's coming. They throw that word out, hell, you know why? They try to make it small, but they know that it's there. Like the old songwriter wrote years ago, I'm on my way to hell. Party time. All my friends are going to be there. They know this is a hell. They might make light, make mock of it. But deep down in their heart, they know that there's a God and judgment is coming. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They knew that there's a God, but they were fools. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you who's a greater fool. A fellow that says, well, I just don't believe in God. Or the person that says, I know that there's a God. I know I'm going to stand and give an account of Him. And then they live like there is no God. When you sit on a church pew week after week and year after year and never surrender to His will, you tell me who's the biggest fool. He says that professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. They made God in their image. And they're doing it every day, all the time. And this is, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Does that sound like tree huggers? Huh? Does that sound like tree huggers? Hey, I'm all for, I think we need to take care of God's creation. God said He's going to destroy them that destroy the earth. I think we're to take care of it. But I'm not going to love trees over people. I'm not going to love minnows and minnows and little old fishes and frogs and hoppy toads and stuff and put that over top of God. I'm not going to move heaven and earth to save, you know, some little polywog somewhere and set and murder children by the hundreds of thousands. That's what we're looking at here. He said, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed again. What did they change here? They changed the truth of God into a lie. Right here. This is what I'm talking about right here. You put your hand on this book, you're out of your mind. That's all I got to say. You can do what you want to do. He said, well, I just don't know. I don't know about that old King James Bible. I'll tell you one thing. I've read a lot of different versions. This is the only one that claims to be perfect. You know why? Because the writers of the other ones didn't believe the Bible was perfect. So they wasn't going to call it perfect, complete, the whole Word of God. Well, we believe in... We believe in the inerrancy of Scripture in its original form. How many of you have ever been to heaven to read it? Jesus is the original form. And Jesus said, and these are those that speak of Me. If a man don't believe that he's got the Word of God in front of him or the whole and complete Word of God, he ain't got nothing. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. See, that, them things are against us. All these new versions are working against the church. It's tearing them apart. It's tearing them apart. I'm telling you, it's tearing them apart. You wonder why people are falling out and falling away and doing all kinds of stuff? Because they don't know what to believe. Nobody will take a stand. Will you take a stand? Will you take a stand? I made up my mind. I'm here to stay. I've placed myself, and I'm not going to stand on it. But I'll tell you what, I'm deciding. I'm standing on this book. God's book. The Word of God. The old boy told me the other day, I told him, I said, you know, I'm going to do something I've never done before. I said, I've read the Bible through many times, but I've never read it straight through. I said, I want to read it straight through. Hey, what do you think about reading one of these old kind of wormy, mousy guy? You know, one of these newer versions? I said, no, I never thought about that. I said, I have no interest in reading that stuff. I said, I might study them from time to time to show try to show people their errors that's in them. But no. There's nothing in there for me to help me. I got all I need right here. I got the whole Word of God right here that God wants me to have. Man, I got enough questions in it to do me a lifetime. Trying to search them out. Ask God what to do. Changes. Look here. Then he says, who changed the truth in the lie, worship served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. You want to know? Hey, you want to know where this homosexual lifestyle's come from? Because they started messing with God's book. It's what God says right here. He gave them the vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. I tell you, if their men had studied this book and tried to live this book and tried to be what this book said to be, we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in. We got too many people sitting on church pews playing church. And likewise also to men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. Wow. Fornication. He's going to give us all the unrighteousness right here. Look at these. This is what changes. It's what changing this book, making a change in following God's Word, can do to our families, to our churches, to our country. It's against us. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, which is idolatry, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud. But somebody was telling me one day, he said, you know, well, you ought to be proud of your children. I said, I'm not proud of my children. He said, well, I'm talking about a good kind of pride. I said, well, what is that? Show me. Show me a good kind of pride. Whoever I put my pride in, you know what? I'm elevating them to a position that they do not deserve. I said, I'm pleased with my children. I'm thankful for my children. I'm very pleased with the things they've decided to do. But I ain't never going to say I'm proud of them, because I know what happens with pride. God come jerk the rug out from under and let me watch and see what they're really made out of. We've done it to a lot of preachers, and look at how a lot of them's come tumbling down. Proud. Boasters. I love our church. I do. This is a good... I think it's a pretty good, solid church on what we believe and things like that. Don't pick it up too far. Don't pick it up too far. God can jerk the rug out from under a church, too. Brother Jerry Wirehart, you say God can go down the road anytime he wants to. Be very thankful. Be very careful. Be very cautious. Let your words always be seasoned with grace, realizing it's God's grace that allows us to be what we are as a church, what my pastor is as a pastor, what our teachers are as teachers, what our members are as members. It's the grace of God, and give him the glory. Amen. Always. Amen. At all times. God, thank you for the things you're doing for our church, for this body. Boasters, inventors of evil things. And then, Lordy, and they throw this in here, right in with the whoremongers and the idolaters and the adulterers and the murderers. The effeminate, disobedient to parents. Hey, don't be sitting over looking over at your youngins either. We got a Father. We got a Heavenly Father. How obedient are we? Disobedient to parents. Without understanding. Covenant breakers. Ain't that always been God's people? God keeps his covenants, but they break them. Implacable. Unmerciful. Kick them while they're down. I don't know how many times I've heard a preacher say that. Got to watch some Baptists. They put their foot on you when you're down. Let somebody mess up. Let them go back into a world. How do we treat them? Do we go after them? Do we even care? Are they even missed? And I'm not saying this against anybody, but Brother Rick, you know, the last time I left the church, do you remember that? He called me up about the buses. I told Brother Rick, I said, I'm sorry, but I think I'm going down the road. I remember you wept over on the phone. Broke my heart. Broke my heart that I was breaking his heart. I probably didn't do the right thing, but I did. It's what I chose to do. Never heard anything from the pastor, Brother Rick. Nobody ever knocked on my door to find out what was going on, what might have been possibly wrong. What is wrong with us as Christians that we can just let people just go away and not try to find out what's going on and why? Do we care? I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just telling you, that's where our churches are at. Changes are against us. It says, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I asked God, I said, how is it that people do that? He said, you ever seen any television? You ever seen any movies? You ever seen any murder in them? You ever seen any lying in them? You ever heard any cursing in them? Have you ever, you know, God just laid it out there. He said they do it all the time. Day in, day out, hour after hour. And they take pleasure in them that do them. In Romans chapter 2, and I'm done. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whoever thou art, that judgest. For in thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to change, to repentance? That's the kind of change that we need. We don't need change our standards. We don't need change our music. We don't need change our Bibles. We just need to change the way we're living. Just need to change the way we're living. Oh, what a difference. Well, if we all made it our duty this year, I'm just going to get one person in this church next year. What if every one of us purposed that? I'm talking about adults. I'm not talking about children. I'm talking about adults. Why don't we repent of our laziness and go for souls? Get a William Booth attitude too. Go for souls and go for the worst. Where there's much forgiveness, there's much love. Some of the best Christians you'll find them in the prisons, Brother Rick. I believe that with all my heart. I've seen some of them. People who did some terrible things. They got things right with God. Just a little lesson. These things are against us, people, and we can do with them what we will. Brother Melvin, you come on up here and close out.